For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Election headquarters. News 1023 KRMG.
Spending the morning going through the answers given by four candidates for Oklahoma governor at last night's gubernatorial forum in Jinx. The forum focusing on education. The moderators included Fox 23's Shay Razi, Wayne Green from the Tulsa World, and KRMG's Russell Mills. Russell says the candidates took some tough questions and they didn't duck.
Perhaps a little tap dancing, but I have to say that most of the answers seem to be pretty forthright, even when it wasn't necessarily what this pro-education crowd wanted to hear. Melissa Abdos with the Parent Legislative Action Committee of Jinx, one of the organizers.
I think there were some, there were definitely some questions that led to some clarity on positions for the candidates, which is exactly what we wanted for the audience.
Whoever the next governor is, they're most certainly going to have to deal with education right out of the chute. In Jinx, Russell Mills, News 102.3 KRMG.
The Oklahoma primary is 3 weeks from today. Meanwhile, today is the biggest primary day in 2018's midterms, with eight states casting ballots today.
This is the 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
8:02 now. Rick Corey is with me. I'm Dan Potter, along with KRMG's Russell Mills, who was one of the moderators last night. We'll be speaking in just a moment with the Tulsa World's Wayne Green as well. Good morning, Russell.
Wait, Denver's going to bring up my hello.
There we go. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling a little harried. I'll tell you what, traffic on 169 is not fun. I forgot what it was like to try to get to work at 8 a.m. So.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here.
Glad to be here.
Let's just go with overall impressions. Before we even get there, there were supposed to be five candidates last night. The candidates were Kevin Stitt, Gary Jones, Gary Richardson, Mick Cornett, and Connie Johnson.
Yes.
What happened to Connie Johnson?
Well, Connie apparently got her wires crossed, and she ended up down in Bixby, which, as you know, was the original venue for the event. It was changed a couple weeks ago. The campaign was notified. I did not get a chance to talk to Connie about exactly what happened. She did show up last night. Spent about an hour talking to my wife.
But too late to
lobby,
be part of the actual forum.
Maggie really wanted to meet her. Yeah, but she was. We told her, you know, if you can't be here at 7, because we had told other candidates.
Yes.
If you cannot be here at 7 when we start, I'm sorry, we can't put you on. It's disruptive. It's not fair to other candidates. Da-da-da-da.
And
that's how
we
ended up with four who said they'd be there and were there on time. So.
Yeah, well, we also found out yesterday some campaigns like that of Todd Lamb were calling yesterday saying, hey, is it too late? Can we get into this? Can
yes,
we be part of this?
We had a couple candidates. It was Mr. Lamb and also Mr. Fisher.
Yeah. Both wanted in, and both campaigns had said in the past they weren't going to take part, and all of a sudden they wanted to, and sorry, the deadline has passed. That wouldn't be fair to the other candidates as well.
And make our lives logistically very, very difficult.
Yeah. Wayne Green with us? Wayne Green from the Tulsa World. Good morning. Oh, Wayne, are you there? Hang on 1 second. Russell, while we're waiting for Wayne to come on the line. What overall impressions of how it went last night?
Well, I think the event went really well. I thought the questions were tough but fair. We didn't try to do any gotchas, but these people, this audience, is a pro-education audience, wanted some answers on everything from school security, should teachers have guns, to voucher systems and everything else. So they took some tough questions, and I think the event went well.
I hear phone line noise. Wayne Green from the Tulsa World is with us now, I trust. Morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
I'll ask you the same question. Just give us your overall feelings about how it went last night.
Well, it was a good discussion. I think all four of the candidates got a chance to make their baseline pitch. Kevin Stitt wants people to realize that he's the corporate guy who's got a plan to make Oklahoma better. Gary Richardson got his chance to say he's ready to shake things up. Gary Jones makes the case that he's the one with the experience and he knows how to fix what's wrong. And Mick Cornett made a pretty good pitch that he's the one you can trust. So, you know, those are four basic messages, and which were well communicated, and it'll be interesting to see how they're received.
Our plan this morning is to go through some of what was said last night and get the answers from each of the candidates. And I think just about as good a place as any to start is the teacher raises and the funding that has been put in jeopardy now by the legislature, passing the funding and now going back on that. But what we've done here is condensed the answers down into about a five-minute block in which we'll hear from all four candidates.
We're going to talk about State Question 799. If it makes it to the ballot in November, it could potentially overturn the funding for the teacher pay raises without actually overturning the raises themselves. I'd like to know what you would do as governor if that happened, to both keep the teachers from walking out again and to rally lawmakers to come up with a solution that might actually stick. Start with Mr. Cornett and work our way down the table.
Well, we just have to make sure it doesn't happen. And I know the PLAC is out there, and I think they would partner with me in trying to make sure that the pay raise goes through. You know, teachers have mortgages. Teachers, you know, might want to buy a new car. Teachers might want to, you know, get their kids invested in a college education someday. They need to know how much money they're going to make from one year to the next. We've got to end the chaos of state government. In a sense, as I travel the state and talk to people, what people are really looking for out of their state legislature is governing. Just stop the politics and govern. We've gotten into this all politics, all the time, theatrics. It's Republicans versus Democrats. It's rural versus urban. It's Oklahoma City versus Tulsa. It's Republicans versus Republicans. It's House versus Senate. And by the time they fit through all that friction, I mean, the session's almost over, and they haven't really addressed the needs and the expectations that we have for them. We cannot sit idly by and allow any process to take this teacher pay raise away from the teachers. The legislature passed it. The governor signed it. It's time to move on and start working on how we can invest even more money in education through growing and diversifying our economy.
Mr. Jones.
First of all, I take this very personal because it was my plan. And what's really interesting in this is the fact that after Step Up failed, there's a group called OCPA, Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs, that had said during Step Up, before 2 days before the vote, was they thought a plan that would be good is 5% gross production tax, which I've been talking about that for 2 years. Raising the gross production tax to 5% after it was 7% and got lowered to 2% is a reasonable fix. It's not raising taxes. It's being fair. The other thing is they said that they would propose 75 cents on cigarettes. You notice the two items were 5% gross production tax, and we originally came out with 75, and the legislature says, let's make it a dollar. Now, the legislature in two plans had also talked about raising the tax on gasoline by 6 cents and the tax on diesel by 6 cents. That would have made gasoline 23 cents, diesel 20. We lowered to 3 cents on gasoline, 3 on diesel, which makes it 20 across the board, same as Texas. And if you drive 20,000 miles a year and get 20 miles to the gallon and you don't smoke and you don't own an oil company, it costs you $2.50 a month for this pay raise. So when you sit there and talk about this being the biggest tax increase in state history, it's not. And if you go out there and you talk about getting them to vote against 799 or better yet, not signing it, you go out there and show them that this is a reasonable thing, that 90% of Oklahomans say that $2.50 to give teachers a pay raise is a good deal, and we support that.
Mr. Richardson.
Yes, sir. First thing I want to explain is that the teachers' pay raise is one bill. The tax increase is a totally different bill. They're two separate things. Our Attorney General has already said that in his opinion, that voting for the referendum and passing it would not affect the teachers' raise. So let's make that clear. Also, the funding for the teachers' raise was already there, as Mr. Jones said, back in April, end of April, first time it's happened in years. Then I want to talk about our kitchen table plan, which has been on the website for almost a year now, GaryRichardson.org/KTP, kitchen table plan. We've shown for over a year how to cut back on foolish spending and save our state millions of dollars to do things like teacher raises. For example, just do an audit of the Medicaid roll. OCPA says that'd save us $86.5 million a year. Last year, Arkansas did one. They took 80,000 people off the Medicaid, 4,100 because they were in prison, 25,000 because they were enrolled in other states as well. We're still doing swag, $13 million a year. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. That may be a small number compared to the big numbers, but my friends, there are things we can do to clean our state up and not have to raise taxes off the backs of the hardworking people of Oklahoma.
And Mr. Stitt.
Yeah. So first off, I'm not for any new taxes, okay? But I said I'm not going to vote to repeal that because that's looking backwards. We've got to focus moving forward at this point. We have got to get a hold of this $22 billion budget. I'm excited that they're showing a surplus next year. So even if it passed, which I don't think it will, but if it passed, I'm committed to making sure that the teachers get a pay raise. Because like I said before, we've got to pay what market is. But to finish my thought, you know, from the previous question, when you've got these two different buckets, you've got the capital improvement buckets and you've got the operations buckets, we have to combine those two. I was in Western Oklahoma earlier, and they just spent, I met with a school district out there that just spent $1.5 million on a brand new press box. Then they just rolled out AstroTurf for the football field. All right. I love high school football. But then they told me, Kevin, we don't have paper in the classroom and we don't have enough books for all of the students. OK, we have got to look at how other states are funding and give the local communities the ability to fund and keep their dollars locally. Because in our state, if you raise $1 local, then you lose a dollar through the state equalization formula. Folks, we have 49 other examples of how to fund common education in our state. That's why this is more like running a business than anything. Okay, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. We have got to look and make sure that we are delivering great outcomes and we are top 10 in education. And we've got a lot of other examples to choose from here. We just can't keep doing the same things that might have made sense in 1950 and don't make sense anymore.
Oklahoma City Governor Mick Cornett rounding out the four candidates there, talking about teacher raise funding and whether the teachers will actually get those raises. And despite the legislature taking some of the, at least being perceived to take some of the funding back. Wayne Green from the Tulsa World is with us, along with KRMG's Russell Mills. The answers to those questions, were they well received by the crowd there? I mean, this was mainly a parent legislative action council crowd, a very much a pro-education crowd. What did they think of those answers?
Well, the audience was under pretty strict instructions not to react,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard to judge how they received the messages. But I would imagine that they didn't hear anything that shook them up too much. You know, each of the candidates is sort of trying to get into that sweet spot, what you might call the David Walters sweet spot. In 1990, the legislature passed what was then the largest tax increase in state history, House Bill 1017, to fund public education. And that same year, we had an election for governor. David Walters was elected. And he got the pleasure of going around the state for 4 years and saying that he had increased state funding to public schools more than any governor in the history of Oklahoma, which was true. And he'd done it without a tax increase, which was technically true because Henry Bellman signed the tax increase. And we're kind of set up in the same sort of situation here, so long as the 1010 double X tax increase isn't repealed by the voters. The next governor will be able to go from Lions Club to Rotary Club to PTA meeting and with the same message. I've overseen a $6,000 pay raise for every school teacher in Oklahoma, and I didn't raise your taxes. Well, that's a pretty sweet sweet deal if you can get away with it.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
Dan Potter, Rick Corey, Russell Mills, dissecting last night's gubernatorial forum for the candidates, Mick Cornett, Gary Jones, Gary Richardson, and Kevin Stitt taking part. And school funding, education in general, was the topic of the night. And specifically here in the next 4 minutes, I wanted to get the candidates' views on something we heard a lot about during the teacher walkout. We got a lot of comments from folks saying we need to consolidate some of these smaller districts. And of course, it's
hot
fine. It's
topic.
Yeah, very hot topic. And all that's well and good unless it's your district.
Absolutely. That I think, cost Steve Largent the governorship many years ago.
Here's what the candidates said last night.
Do you favor consolidating school districts or administration or both? And if so, how much money do you think that would save? We'll start with you, Mr. Jones, and work our way down and around again.
I believe we need to focus on doing everything we can to best educate our kids. If there are things that we can do to consolidate administrative functions to make it more efficient using economies of scale, we need to look at those things. But I'll tell you, I've heard people talk about plans of cutting every school district under 300. My grandkids go to Chattanooga, Oklahoma, the school there. There's about 15 kids in the class. It's an A-rated school. You go through and look at the kids that come out of that small school district, and they're leaders all over, not just in Oklahoma, but in the country. But what we need to do is to sit down and collectively work together and say, I want to do regional learning centers where we come together and say, how can we best work together to make sure that the school districts get what they need? Now, if we eliminated a large majority of the superintendents, we might save $30 or $40 million, and that's sizable. But the problem we're facing is hundreds of millions of dollars that need to be found to go into the classroom to fix the problems. So instead of coming in with a cookie-cutter approach and saying, based on this, you don't fit this scenario, we're going to cut you out, that's ridiculous. We need to come in, look to see, working with the individual school districts to see what the best size is, what the best model is. And the model in southwestern Oklahoma may not be the same model in Tulsa County. But we need to collectively work together to find that best model working with the educators because it's all about our kids.
Mr. Richardson.
To answer the question asked, I do not support forced consolidation of schools. You know, I grew up in a small town of 1,600, went to a small school, 36 in my graduation class, and I think I came out fairly well, and I believe I got a good education. But I would tell you, the school, like in the town I grew up in most small towns in Oklahoma, is somewhat the core of a small town. I would never force a school to leave their location. If the board decided to do that and consolidate, I would support it. As to administration, I've talked to even a couple of administrators who told me, Gary, we could actually, come together and save a lot of money, who knows how much. That's why I insist on an independent audit of the education department. First, we have to find out what we have before we know what we can do. We don't know what we have because we haven't done the performance audit. A receipt audit, I'll tell you what it is. It's just where they give you a receipt and you look at it and make sure it's plugged in correctly, added in correctly. Performance audit goes much further. So I would do a performance audit, evaluate it, and there's no way I can tell you exactly what we would do until we have that information.
Mr. Stitt.
The forced consolidation, no. That's a local decision on what schools and all that. That goes back to the local counties. It's back to my funding formula, and that's how we fix this thing long term. Efficiencies in administration, absolutely. When you look at our state compared to what market is, what other states are doing, what's competitive out there, how other states are getting dollars in the classroom, what are the outcomes, we're not doing as good a job. So why wouldn't we think of things differently? So when I think about that, you look at Florida. Florida has 77 superintendents. We have 538. Some of our districts are really, really efficient. They spend $6 per kid in administration costs. Some of our districts spend as much as $900 a kid in administration costs. It's that different. You've got to tweak the funding formula and look at what we should be spending in administration costs, and then that's how it's fixed back to the local counties. They can determine how much administrators they need. Then there's a natural governor with how many kids you have for how much administration. No business is going to survive long term. No school district or no education system if you spend 50% of the dollars in administration costs. That's That's what we're doing today. We have got to do a better job of getting dollars in the classroom. Politicians get up here and talk every single time about what they're going to do, and then they never do it. Steve Largent came to visit me, and he said, Kevin, I ran for governor 15 years ago. We're talking about the same issues today as we did back when I ran. I'm going to be the governor that actually does something about them and moves us towards top 10 in education.
Mr. Cornett.
I spent a lot of time studying and executing change leadership, and one of the aspects of change leadership is recognizing an idea whose time has come. And I can tell you from traveling the state and talking to parents and administrators around the state, the time has not come for forced consolidation. Doesn't really matter if the governor thinks it's a good idea or the legislature thinks it's a good idea. The people of Oklahoma are not ready for it. Now, every year there are a few schools that consolidate. We should encourage that consolidation. There's definitely an efficiency long term. And perhaps someday, I think in the distant future, Oklahoma will be more ready to consolidate. But that time is not now. I think there is an opportunity for the next governor to continue to talk about it and advance the conversation in that direction. We do need to get more money into the classrooms so we can provide more effective education for our kids. But as far as mass consolidation, I don't think we're ready for that yet. And if I am elected governor, I promise I will not judge myself looking back about whether or not I was able to consolidate a vast number of schools. So let's encourage it where it's appropriate and where local parents are looking for it. But long term, it's not something that we need to start hurrying on.
Mick Cornett there, the question the candidates were addressing was consolidating the smaller school districts in the state.
KRMG goes in depth.
That's where we are right now, going in depth on last night's forum, joined by KRMG's Russell Mills, one of the co-moderators last night. He covered a whole lot of topics, and outside in the hall, there were other candidates. This was, I mean, yes, ostensibly this was a gubernatorial forum on education.
Yes.
But a lot of folks running for local and state offices got a chance to glad hand some of the public last night.
Absolutely. As you came in, you went down this hallway, you know, to get into the auditorium where we were at there on the Jenks High School campus. And they had tables set up along there, and I believe somebody told me 16 of them. And each of the campaigns made a small donation in order to be able to set up their table. And I saw all kinds of folks there. I saw judicial candidates. I saw sitting state superintendent Joy Hoffmeister was there. Of course, she's from Jenks. Mm-hmm. She was there and meeting with some of her constituents, if you will, and meeting with folks that she hopes, you know, will return her to office. Saw a lot of folks like that. And, it was interesting.
Not all the topics concerned funding and tax increases and consolidation. It did all involve the schools and education, but one of the topics that had a lot of attention last night was about school safety and the recent school shootings.
Do you have a school safety plan? We will start with you, Mr. Cornett.
When I was 7 years old, it was that time of our lives when the telephone in the house was in the center of the house. And so my bedroom was right outside the where the telephone lied, and the phone rang. And it was about 9 o'clock on a weekday night. My older brother had gone to a high school basketball game, an on-campus game. And there had been an altercation afterwards, and some people came up with knives that ended up stabbing my brother and one of his other classmates. And the phone call came. I was already in my pajamas, and my parents said, grab your coat. And we went to the hospital and met him there. And so, you know, for the next few hours, wondered if my brother was going to survive. And so when it comes to school safety and keeping young people safe when they're attending events on school or in the classroom, I've lived it. Fortunately, my brother pulled through because he was wearing a very thick coat, and the knife didn't get all the way to his lung. As far as what the state should do about school safety, the state shouldn't be trying to micromanage school safety into every school building in the state, but it does have a responsibility to work with local school administrators on how they can best activate their safety plans. So I think the state should be a partner. But the state shouldn't be trying to micromanage a safety plan for every district and every school building out there.
Mr. Joe?
I agree with the mayor on this, is the fact that I think it's an issue that the state needs to be involved in to make sure that we provide every option available to those local school districts But we ought to work with the school districts for them to choose which one they want, whether they want a resource officer in the school, whether they actually want to arm, you know, teachers or administrators. I think that should be left up to the schools and the local community to make those decisions. And that we ought to do everything we can to provide training programs or programs by which that we can identify students or other people that might enter the school. So whenever there is an issue that comes up that we don't hear later where somebody reported it, but no one took action. Every time we hear this, we heard that we've known about this or somebody knew about this, even the FBI. We've got to take these situations serious. We have to have the resources available to get those kids helped to begin with, make sure we have the resources in school to maybe get them to where they don't get to that situation. If they have a mental issue, we need to have people that can actually identify those and get them the treatment they need. We also have the same problem on the state level. And the fact that we don't have enough people dealing with mental health issues, because more times than not, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a mental health issue there that somebody has acquired a firearm or some weapon, and they come back and do this. If we can identify those before it becomes a problem, before it gets to that situation, and we can't just do it every time another shooting occurs. We have to have an ongoing program. We have to make sure that we have these mechanisms, these programs in place to prevent those from happening. Now, I would love to say that, you know what, when we had these situations, we can go back and identify when we were able to step in and stop these instead of hearing about them later because someone's lost a loved one.
Mr. Richardson.
Let me first say that as governor, I would have signed the Second Amendment bill. As far as our school systems are concerned, as we've heard, you know, the local schools have control, and I've read articles about it. I'm sure most everyone in the auditorium has. With different ideas and suggestions, such as, for example, retired law enforcement officers, hire those to be at the school, maybe former military people, even the teachers, if they want to do so. I wouldn't suggest or support forcing any teacher to carry a concealed weapon. It would be their choice. But, you know, we know the best thing that can happen when someone has a gun that means to do harm is someone have a gun that wants to protect. A good example of that is in Lewis in Oklahoma City just recently. I have to wonder how many people would have been killed if two citizens hadn't have seen what was going on and ran to their car and got their gun and took care of business. As we know, just like that, people can be killed and long before law enforcement can arrive in many instances. So I say that whatever it takes, we need to do. And if I had all the answers to that question tonight, I could travel the world and you know, it'd be amazing how we could change things overnight. I don't have all of them, but I know how to find them when I'm in a position to do something about it. As governor of Oklahoma, I will be very intent on protecting our schools and protecting the students and the teachers. Thank you very much.
Mr. Stitt.
Yeah, first off, you know, my heart breaks every time I hear of one of those shootings that takes place around our country. It is truly a mental health issue. I don't want to make it about guns because I agree. I think the best defense for a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And, you know, they plant bombs, they do different things. We have to figure out the mental health issue and what's causing these kids to do it, be able to recognize it in our schools, get them help before it happens. And, you know, and then it's really a local decision. It's a local school district decision on how they're going to arm and how they're going to protect and what are their emergency procedures, whether we have armed security there, whether we train the teachers, the administrators. In the aviation business, the airlines have pilots that go on their own time and get trained to carry weapons in the cockpit, and you don't even hear about it. But 50% of the flights, they have that now, and they go on their own time and they do that. So I would encourage those kind of things to make sure our kids are protected. But it's dear to my heart with six children, and it's something that's happening all over our country. But it's a mental health. It's a violence. It's the video games, the TVs. We don't know exactly what's causing it, but it certainly needs to be addressed. And I'm going to support all of our different districts and figure out what we can do to help protect our students.
Republican candidate for governor Kevin Stitt, along with three other Republican candidates for governor, last night's gubernatorial forum on education and jinx.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in depth hour on News 102.3. KRMG.
Is it just me, Or do you want to hear Gary Richardson say, "They call me tater salad"?
Well, good point. He does sound a lot like him, doesn't he? 8:50 on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. I think we'll wrap it up with this. The candidates, yes, this was an education forum. And I guess you work your way to this question by saying it's about kids and teaching kids and being a good example for kids. So, candidates, what do you think of President Trump as a role model? Here's what they said.
Gentlemen, let's talk about the President of the United States. We'll start with you, Mr. Stitt. Do you think the President is a proper role model for your children and for the children of Oklahoma?
You know, some of the actions he does, absolutely not. That's not what we train our kids to do. And I tell people that I'm kind of like Donald Trump, but I don't tweet. So, I support Donald Trump in his policies. He just cut the corporate tax rate from 35 to 21. That was a huge move. If you'd have told me he had got that done, I would have said, there's no way. Maybe 35 to 31. But it took leadership. If you'd have told me he was going to get elected, I'd have probably said there was no way.
Mr. Cornett?
Well, I think we should all applaud the president and the accomplishments he's had in less than a year and a half in office. It's been extraordinary what he's got accomplished. His leadership style is obviously much different than mine. He really wants to be a partner, and Oklahoma is set up well to bring in a lot of problems and grant programs.
Mr. Jones?
No, he's not a role model for my kids and grandkids. But I will tell you what, as people talk about why Donald Trump is successful in getting things done, it's not because he's a millionaire or a billionaire. It's because he's a decision maker. He's able to address situations and analyze them and make decisions. And the biggest problem we have in government is we spin our wheels. You know, after 6.5 years being in office, someone came to me and said, "What's the one thing that really surprises you at the Capitol?" I said that we're still talking about the same problems that we had 6.5 years ago. And in my office, we came in, we had a huge backlog, and it's amazing because my employees would come to me and said, they're amazed because we come to you with a problem, we find a solution, and we get it done. I said, I was in business for 16 years in a small business, started out with myself and a high school kid, built up to 50 employees, and yes, I have signed the front of a paycheck. And I've had to make those tough decisions that said, you know what, unless we cut back, we don't stay in business. You know, I'm in my office, we have made difficult decisions in the fact that my appropriations has been cut by 40%. We used to get $5 million a year, we now get $3 million. We had 120 employees, we now have 109 because we don't have a chief of staff, a public relations person, a legislative liaison. We've cut out all mission critical positions and turned them into auditors. We've done more audits in my term in 7.5 years than ever in the history of the state. We've got top awards for doing it. So, yes, we are auditing. We're doing it very well. But that's what we have to do is we have to do things better. We have to be able to go in there and look to see what our problems are, bring the proper people together and make those decisions and move forward. You can't depend on the legislature. The average legislator right now has 4 years experience. So we need somebody that can step in from day one and sit down and lead, not sit there and be part of the fraternity. That's a huge problem we have. I have a history of doing that, whether it was county commissioner, whether it was chairman of the Republican Party, where we took over the House and Senate when I was there, or whether it's state auditor, coming and identifying problems and solutions and getting those implemented.
Mr. Richardson, is...
Wayne, what was the question?
Is the president a proper role model?
I know what the question was. Thankfully, we didn't hire him to be a role model. Right? I agree with Senator Langford, my friend. And I've known him for several years, and we didn't hire him to be a role model. We're role models at home and in our schools. You know, our coaches, those are people that are close to our kids and have impact on our children. And that's who we look to as role models, not a president of the United States, and we didn't hire him to be our minister. You know, a lot of people seem to be a little confused about that. I agree with my friend Gary Jones that he's quite a leader. You know, the first time I saw Donald Trump on television, I told my wife, Lana, I said, "Sweetheart, that's my man, and I'll tell you why. Number one, he will not be compromised. Number two, he doesn't need the job. And number three, I believe this man has a real heart for our country." And my friends, I believe he's proving that to be true, a real heart for our country. As governor of Oklahoma, I will have a real heart for our state. I've had to make a lot of tough decisions. As a U.S. attorney prosecuting the county commissioner scandals, I had to make tough decisions. As former state prosecutor, I had to make tough decisions. I've made them most of my life. I can make them as governor.
Gary Richardson last night, part of our gubernatorial forum, along with Gary Jones, Kevin Stitt, and Mick Cornett. And thank you for joining us for this recap. You can listen to the whole thing on demand at KRMG.com and on the KRMG app.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.